you know, pretend that you're listening or don't worry about it. But there's just some things that have been going on with the group lately that I think need to be addressed. I think it's important that we all maybe every now and then ask the question, what is the purpose of having church or a fellowship? And for one thing, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I'm in your midst. It's always a good thing for believers to come together if their focus is on Jesus being Lord and the presence of God manifests. We need this time for our spiritual growth. There are certain areas that I would say religious conditioning has trying to block from the body of Christ breaking into. We talk about the leaven of the Pharisees, and that's, I won't go into detail with that. But God wants to release the reality of the new covenant. Amen. We need our time together so to experience the Spirit. It's the anointing in the Spirit that breaks every yoke, so that we can experience what Jesus died for, what he paid for us. We need to experience freedom. All of us can relate to that word. Paul said in Galatians, it was for freedom's sake, you've been set free. I don't think there's a person in this room that really knows what freedom is according to how Jesus defines it. We carry so much bondage and we're conditioned by so much bondage. But the more we hear the Lord in this hour, the freedom as defined by God is going to be our reality. We need to come together so that God can reveal to us what new covenant is all about. Unfortunately, many of us carry with us, I think, kind of a hybrid of old and new. We're trying to kind of blend them together. Can't let go of all the law. We got to have some kind of legalism. We got to feel guilty about something, so we try to put them together. New covenant is not an extension of the old covenant. It's something new. And we need to experience the Spirit so God can make that real to us. We're battled over identity, who we are in the Lord. There's something in coming together in the Spirit where God can write in our hearts and minds that identity and reveal it to us. And out of identity comes purpose. As we allow the Lord to reveal to us who we are to him, what we mean to him, our purpose comes forth. What happens when we pursue purpose apart from identity? We get into dead works. We get into religious works. But when it comes out of our being, of who we are, that's when the works are living. So all of this to say that it's always good, when you talk about church, we're talking about a relationship of people together in the Lord. Not the nonprofit corporation, mission statement, the building we meet in, all those things that we, you know, we may need, may not need, I don't know. But the reality is when our spirits come together, there's something that happens that's important. Does it have to be every Sunday morning? Well, no, that's just tradition. We do a lot of things by tradition, but assembling together is good. The second part of that is, do churches, when they come together, fellowships, have a unique purpose in being together? Apart from the individual breakthrough spiritually, often there's a corporate mission for a church. Amen. I think with us, there's different things I've seen fulfilled through the years. I've been here for over 30 years. Some of you have been here longer than that. The church started in the late 70s. But I think we're in transition right now and needing to discover what's the next step. And this is what I want to address this morning. I know different ones here are feeling we need to get a sense of purpose for the church, a greater sense of purpose, I should say. That's more accurate. And what I feel we need to do, it's not something we need to figure out. We need to lean in with faith. That which our minds don't understand, we move into with faith. Position ourselves with an open heart for God to speak. We're in a time, I think, that he's going to open something up for us in this. Amen. Collective purpose often is defined as happening within the four walls. So if I say, is there something more going to happen here? Everybody's thinking, okay, what's going to happen in this building? Can I challenge you to think outside the box? Was it Taco Bell? Think outside the bun. We need to think outside the religious box. When we talk about God opening up something new, why does it need to be in these four walls? It may be somewhere in our community. It may be with some other group. It may be a number of things. Don't be limited by past experience. Let's just be open to what the Lord wants to lead. We often think when God's going to do something, it's got to come first to the leader. And then the leader tells us what's going to happen. Scripture says, I'll do nothing, but first I reveal it to my prophets, plural. It also says a child will lead them. I want to challenge you to maybe let go of that old paradigm of authority that we look for a Moses to get something, then we're all going to follow it. I don't think that type of leadership is going to bring us into the reality of the kingdom in this hour. I think that type of leadership perpetuates what we've seen in the church age. This is something I believe that collectively we do. We reach in together. There's something new that God's going to be releasing with authority, and we need to be ready for it. Isaiah 30:21 is kind of an interesting scripture. You don't need to turn there. Talks about your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. In Revelation 1, to John, remember the voice? He had to turn to hear the voice behind him. We all have an idea of how things need to happen. It's always up front. The leader, what's happening up there. You know, a time is coming, and I think is upon us, when we're going to have to turn. The voice is going to be behind us. God's going to be speaking in ways that we're not used to. We need to be open and recognize his voice and not be conditioned by some kind of hierarchy in our thinking that God can only do things if he does it first with whoever's leading. I'm not saying you people, anyone here believes that, but I think that's a real problem in the church today. People are in tune to hearing certain people speak. They're in tune to hearing leaders, but it doesn't mean they know the voice of the Lord. So if you know his voice, then the same voice that comes through an apostle can come through a child, and you recognize that's Jesus. We need to be in tune with that right now. I really think, and I'm kind of interesting lately, some things that have come up here, and I'm just going to be honest with you. My conditioning after 40-some years of being in the ministry and pastoring is, you know, with churches, problems come up, and it gets messy. And so part of the job is problem solving in the Lord, hopefully by the Spirit, and cleaning up the mess. You want everything to be tidy and neat. And I've been frustrated with that for some time now, because I go to the Lord and ask about, someone will say, pray about this, and I go, I'm not getting the same answers. It's like God doesn't want me doing that anymore. I want to be doing that, because I'm used to doing that. But something's new here. God doesn't want to just tidy things up. He doesn't want it where it just answers problem solving. He wants all of us to be reaching in with our ears open, hearing something that he's speaking, and together moving toward it. So there's a change happening. I was given this scripture from Joshua chapter 6 about Jericho, if I could talk to you about that for a second. You know, under Moses and under Joshua were two different types of leadership. Now, similar things are said. The people said to Moses, whatever God tells you, we're going to do it. The people said to Joshua, whatever God tells you, hey, we're on board. But there was a definite difference. With Moses, the people said, you go to God, our job is to follow you. And we saw how well that worked out. With Joshua, remember, a whole generation died out. The people are saying, okay, Joshua, you're our leader. We recognize the authority, but we're on the same page with you. And you read the book of Joshua, when things went well, they did it together. Yes. So it wasn't simply that one person was hearing from God and everybody else was standing back trying to follow that person. They were following Joshua, but they were all following the Lord together. I think that's a pattern of what we're into today. In the first battle they faced with Jericho, you remember the story? How they came up to Jericho and it was a walled city. And they marched around and, you know, they blew the trumpets and shouted and the walls came down. If we want to move into new land, and what's our new land we're talking about? Spiritual breakthroughs in the presence of God. The kingdom of God coming forth. We can't use a pattern from the wilderness. If all we're doing is going to church and following people, I'll tell you what our life's going to be like. You're going to feel like in your soul, you're just wandering. The blessing of God is there. There's manna from heaven. There's water from the rock. I mean, it's not that God's not in the wilderness, but we're not moving forward. When it comes to the new land, a new paradigm is needed of authority, of how we all function together. They come up to Jericho, and it's interesting that the things that has to come down are the walls. The victory is in the walls coming down. And then they routed the city. We're in a time where God wants to bring down walls that have been resistance to him. And you look at the thing of marching around, that you say, well, they blew the trumpets. What's that symbolic of? Got to speak the word of God together. Yes, we do. But I think the real power in that miracle is they did it together. It wasn't that a few people marched. Okay, you do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you guys, Tuesday, Thursday. Do it 1 to 3. You guys have some other time. You guys don't worry about it. We'll do it for you. It was something in unison. They all heard the word of the Lord. And it didn't make much sense, did it? You want to rout a city? What is marching around a city walls going to do except making you look foolish? I seem to have heard a word that God may be speaking to us to do things that don't make sense in our mind. Where did we hear that? I don't know. But isn't that the truth? God told them to do something that didn't make sense, you know. But here they are together following the word of the Lord. The result of that, the walls come down, the victory's realized. We've lived with 2,000 years of walls.
That's right.
Walls to the kingdom of God. Walls to the spirit of God. The power of God. All the things we're believing for. Walls of resistance in our own thinking, of religion. Those walls cannot stand before the unity of the body when we're responding in obedience to the word of God. Let's put ourselves in that place. Now, I wrote this down. I said this before. We lean together in faith, open to the mind of the Spirit.
Amen.
If we're looking for a new directive, what do we do if it doesn't come when we think it should come? I know everybody knows the right answer. Is it steady the ark, or is it do like Saul? Samuel's late. I'll do the sacrifice. No, we know the right answer is to wait on God. What often happens with church is even though we know that's the right thing to do, and especially leadership feels this. You feel the anxiety of people. Come on, we got to be doing something here. And it's really hard in the church today because in the church today is very much influenced by the world around us. What I mean by that is what does the spirit of the age dictate? It says people are in pain. You want to escape by being entertained. You also have a deep need to feel significant. So church feels this pressure that if people are coming, they've got to be entertained, right? Because if you don't entertain them, they're not going to come back. That's not why we come together. Coming together and experiencing his presence should always be enjoyable.
Amen.
What's better than the presence of God? But we shouldn't be driven by the need to escape and be entertained. This thing of needing to feel significant, we all need that. That's a deep human need. And when it's not met in the right way, meaning that, you know, we have that need met in loving one another, honoring one another, and first and foremost, God's approval being made real to our life. That's our significance. He loves us.
Right.
When that doesn't happen, then people seek it out in other ways. And that's where things in church can get off. You know, you wonder, well, how do people end up in cults? They have this deep emotional need. I've got to be important. And you get to a group that says, hey, you're important. If you come here, do what we're doing. That's a pseudo way of meeting the need. That's not God meeting it. It's if you do what we're doing in our religious, whatever our religious thing is, you're very important. How would we reframe this here with a smaller group? You could say, okay, let's say we have 30, probably maybe 40 people today. You'd say, well, there's only this many people because we have this special revelation and teaching. Everybody else out there is not ready for it. So people think, wow, by being here, I'm really special. I'm significant. That's where the religious realm gives this out, and it's not right. All of us, we're only special. All of us are special only because of God's love for us, his grace in our lives. So often church is put in a place of trying to produce for people something that God must do by the Spirit, and it gets to be a problem. Okay, I don't know why I got way off there, but let's go back to this whole thing of waiting on God. There's no plan B here. If God doesn't reveal things right away, we don't move unless his presence moves. We don't do like Saul, who when Samuel was late, he goes, well, I'm anxious, the people want an answer. Samuel's late, I better jump in. You know how that worked out for Saul. We wait until God moves us by the Spirit. And if we're leaning in with faith, open to hear his voice, instead of being anxious, there's going to be rest and peace because we're relating to the presence of the Lord. I think that's very, very important. The thinking of many leaders is, well, nothing's happening, so I'll come up with a plan. Now that I've got this plan going, God, I want you to bless it and have it finish in you. Right? If it doesn't start in God, it's not going to finish in God. So we need to be in that place spiritually and make sure that what happens is beginning in the Spirit. Okay, just a few other things on this. This is going actually longer than I intended, but problems here with that we're dealing with right now. One of our great strengths here is diversity. Hopefully you don't feel a need, I've got to be like this person over here. You know, your gift, your uniqueness is welcome. Part of the problem that comes with diversity is we can become critical because certain things are not the way we like them. I love the way we have it here, like with the word. I love that we have different voices up here. I've been criticized for that. I tell you, I think it's not in your best interest or mine for me to dominate the pulpit. To have different voices hearing from the Lord. This is not an open forum where anyone can just get up and say what they want. But isn't it a blessing to have different ones come in? And everyone has their own unique way of expressing what the Lord's showing them. Yeah. It makes us stronger. It causes our ears to be sharper to hear his voice. We have the same thing with the worship. Think of our worship team. Jeff, Carol, Tom, Rick. All of them are very unique. It's like a prism, just light going through a prism. Just they bring out the light of Christ in different ways. And that's a strength, that kind of diversity. What happens is when you have diversity, it's easy to have division because people have different opinions about what they like, what they don't like. And I want to just say this about that. Your opinions are welcome. This is not a place where we want everybody to think a certain way. We don't want to control or manipulate your mind. Your opinions are welcome. Your submission is needed. Yes. You may think that everything that goes on in this church is the way I would do it. No, it isn't. Because when I have someone in authority doing something, they do it the way the Lord leads them. Otherwise, it's just me trying to control everything, and that's not a good thing. So when we have a diversity, we have to be sure that in our heart we're submissive and really supporting each other in what we're doing. Amen. Someone's doing things a different way, you say, well, that's not the way I like it. That's okay. But be sure your heart's lined up to really give them support. I think in this time, because we're in transition and there's something before us, we just need to be careful that we don't get divided, that we realize that we're going to do this together.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, well, there is more to be said about this, but I think I'm going to stop here. And just one last thought. Either we'll pull together or we'll pull apart. That's the reality that happens. And I'm speaking this, I'm releasing this in the Spirit so that we can pull together for the purpose that God has.
Yes.
Amen.